Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 9 minutes past 8 o'clock. Let's go to the phones right now and talk with Congressman Mark Sanford. Good morning, Congressman. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
So tell us about the new health care bill. Is this the way to go or not?
Well, with refinement, I think would be the answer. So we're having a bit of a tug of war up here on exactly where we go next. I would liken it to an opening bid. The first bid was out there. Okay, got it. Now the question is, what do we do to ultimately make the bill more conservative, to fit more with financial reality? Then I think we got to deal with as taxpayers and more market based.
So, what are the big problems that you and the Freedom Caucus have with the bill? What are some of the main things where you say it's not conservative enough?
I'll give you two examples. So, for instance, some states expanded their Medicaid programs. Some states didn't.
Right.
If you look from a federal standpoint, we've gone from spending around $70 billion a year on that program 10 years ago to over $300 billion a year today. It's not on a sustainable track. And what we do spend, I think we ought to spend on folks that really need the help as opposed to those who don't.
Mm-hmm.
So what this bill does is it says, tell you what, we'll keep an open window for the next 3 years, and then we're going to basically lock it in wherever we are. What's that going to do? It's going to create a rush for the door. And a lot of states that maybe didn't sign up to expand their programs, I think, would. And there's no scoring of what that costs. The bill itself has not been scored in terms of the total cost.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the idea of a refundable tax credit is really problematic. In that, you know, anytime somebody gets a check, basically what we call that is an entitlement.
Right.
From the standpoint of categorizing federal spending. When you send somebody a check, the one thing they won't do is let go of that check.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Ronald Reagan said the closest thing to, you know, eternal life is a government program.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guaranteed eternal life in a government program is what's called an entitlement. It's not something that's abstract. You can trim it. You can't trim it. No. This is a check that came to my house. I'm not getting any more. I'm not let go in that thing. So I think it creates a new entitlement. We can't pay for the entitlements that are already on the table.
Right. So what are some of the things that you like about the bill?
I like the fact that it ends the individual mandate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no other product out there in America wherein you're required to buy the product. In the way that we are with the Affordable Care Act. It ends the employer mandate. It ends basically all the new taxes, save for the Cadillac tax.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it incorporates some of what was positive about the Affordable Care Act. You know, somebody staying on their plan, their parents' plan, until the age of 26 is not unreasonable. I mean, you know, folks haven't even gotten their financial start and they're not up and going and we're going to, you know, say you're responsible for your health. And I, you know, that's probably a heavy lift for a lot of kids. So I think that's reasonable. The idea of dealing with pre-existing conditions in a different form, I think, is also important. I've had a bunch of town hall meetings. I've had six over the last 3 weekends. And one of the things that came up over and over and over again is this genetic lottery that we're all in and this notion of Murphy's Law that, I mean, just bad luck occasionally comes your way. And
right.
Somebody's in a car wreck. You know, we're not Bangladesh. We don't send people out to die, and we treat them now, but it's an emergency room, and that's expensive. So I think, this notion of pre-existing conditions, I think, is important in the way that it deals with. The bill has no caps, which is equally important for
right.
a lot of other folks that may have had a bad stroke of luck or fortune in their life.
Congressman, I got a caller from downtown Charleston with a question. Can you
yes,
take
sir?
It? All right, let's go to Lee downtown. Lee, what's your question for Congressman Mark Sanford?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Yes, it sounds to me like the changes to the health care program, you guys are wanting to base it on ideology, whereas it seems to me that it would be better if we tried to bend the cost curve, we tried to get more people insured, therefore there will have less people in emergency rooms, and so that the overall care is better and we get more people covered. And it sounds to me like we're going away from that. better for the country to get more people covered and to have less people in the emergency rooms, because that's going to lower the cost right there.
Lee, I agree with you. And that's conceptually what the Affordable Care Act was supposed to do. But the fatal flaw was it had a list of enumerated benefits, sort of required benefits. Here's the package and here's what's in it. And that list was long if you were young. And so a lot of young people, and that longer list drove up cost. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of younger folks looked at that list and said, you know, I don't need all that stuff. I'm not signing up. And so to the tune of millions and millions and millions of young people, they didn't sign up. They said, I'd rather pay the penalty. And as a consequence, the concept that the bill was after didn't work because of this fatal flaw. And so one of the things that, for instance, the bill that Senator Paul and I introduced was to say, no. Let people pick from the buffet. Let people pick what
right.
makes sense for them and their families. As a consequence, what we essentially do is make less expensive insurance legal again. And so I think that in concept, you're right. In practice, it's not proven true. And so we definitely need to get more young people on board. The question is, do we do it with a carrot or stick, our bill? The bill that Senator Paul and I introduced, this is something we're pushing for in terms of incorporation in the final bill,
right?
Is something that does just that.
How long do you think before we have an actual working health care program?
This thing's moving faster than in some ways I would like. I think we've got to be careful here. Again, the one feedback that I consistently heard from people at these different town hall meetings and then talking to folks at home generally is that your health care is really important to you. It
right.
really matters. And so they're, for some reason, they're really rushing this thing. And so it may be sooner rather than later. This is done on what's called reconciliation. I don't get overly technical, but it allows for basically a 51 vote on the Senate side so you can move it to the president's desk.
Right.
That
right.
means, based on reconciliation, it has to deal with budgetary issues. It cannot deal comprehensively with all that the Affordable Care Act dealt with. And so the first leg could be sooner than we think. Second, third legs might take a while.
All right. Congressman, I know you got to run. I appreciate you spending time with us this morning. We'll talk to you soon for an update.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Congressman Mark Sanford.
WTMA. Now. Here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It's 23 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Let's go to the phones right now. We'll check in with Steve from Hanahan. Steve, how are you, buddy?
How you doing, Charlie?
I'm doing A-OK, man.
Oh, good. Well, I guess we just don't know what we're getting yet with a new plan.
Right.
Exactly.
It's
going to take a while to find out. But I never agree with the ACA. And one of the reasons was the mandate.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, folks, I don't care what you do. I don't care how you feel about the government, but that is tyranny.
Yeah.
That is oppression. That's government overreach. And if you want to go down that path and keep believing that that sets a dangerous precedent, well, now it's gone. Thank God.
Right.
You know, and I hope people realize how dangerous that was. Some people don't. They don't get it. They don't get what the next thing the government can force us to do is.
Right,
now,
yeah.
With regard to the new plan, there's a lot of people saying, well, all these medical associations are against it. They don't like it. Doctors don't like it. Let me ask you a question, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know the deductibles associated with your plan, right?
Right.
It's $5,000, $6,000, a lot
yeah.
of out-of-pocket stuff.
Right,
now,
yeah.
If I'm a doctor, and I know that under the current plan, the ACA, that before I have to accept a discounted payment from an insurance company, that I'm going to get the first $6,000 in cash right up front, which plan would I like?
Like
the plan that says, hey, I'm getting long, green
yeah.
$6,000.
Yeah, give me that cash on hand.
The discounted payment, right?
Yeah.
Well, of course they don't like the change. They don't want to change that.
No.
I mean, would you?
No, and it's like I said, Steve, just because you change who pays for the coverage or for the treatment doesn't mean the cost of the treatment goes down at all.
That's right. And let me tell you, I just hope the new system encourages premiums that will attract people,
mm-hmm.
lower deductibles. Listen, I wouldn't mind paying a higher premium if the deductibles would go way down and my insurance actually works for me. But like you said, some people go all year. The insurance never kicks in
right. Because
they don't spend that deductible, that out-of-pocket deductible.
Yeah.
It's just, it was not fair from the start. I don't know. Whatever we come up with has got to be better.
Absolutely. Steve, I appreciate you calling in, buddy. Brenda is on John's Island. How are you, Brenda?
Good, Charlie. I hope you are.
But absolutely.
I heard Steve ask you. So, do you listen to Sean Hannity?
I watch his show.
Okay. He's been talking to Josh Umbre from Wichita, Kansas.
Right.
Now, Josh has 5 physicians, I believe he said.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a program there that is spreading across the nation. And it's $50 a month for adults, $10 a month for children, and it's unlimited care.
Yeah.
He's gone straight to the pharmaceutical companies. He can offer prescriptions for 90% off what you pay at Walmart.
Right, which is pretty low.
Oh, yes, already. So, unlimited care, Charlie. You can have a heart attack or need stitches or a prescription for an antibiotic and go in there and be covered at $50.
Now, so my question is, how does this work? Is this like another insurance program where you've got a lot of people paying in, they take that pool of money and give you the care that you need?
No, they go straight to the source, is my understanding. And I'm not an authority on this. I haven't even looked it up on the Internet yet. But his name is Josh Umbre, and I'm assuming that is spelled U-M-B-R-Y, maybe?
All right.
Utah, Kansas.
So, all right, well, we will check it out. We'll check it out.
Breck and somebody else were talking with him on the radio yesterday and a couple of days ago also. And this sounds like a wonderful program, and it's completely free market.
And that's the way it should be, Brenda. Brenda, I appreciate you calling in. That's the way, the health care should be. It should be free market. It should be Hospital A competing with Hospital B on their prices. We have a better price on, we'll just use hip replacement as an example. You can go on our website. This is how much a hip replacement costs without complications. If everything goes according to plan, you're going to pay, I don't know, let's throw a number out there, $10,000 for a hip replacement. Well, we've got our hip replacement because we run a little tighter ship at this hospital as far as expenditures are concerned, and we can offer a hip replacement for $9,000. Now, as long as these hospitals are maintaining the quality of care that they're supposed to be maintaining, then which one would you go to? A, you're either going to go to the closest hospital, or you're going to go to the hospital that's going to offer the lower price. Same should be done with pharmacies. That's the way the free market is supposed to work.
WTMA, the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Does it say something about me that I have no idea who Ed Sheeran is? Everybody's talking about this guy. Some kind of, he looked like a nerdy little kid. And apparently he's the biggest thing in pop music right now. I'm no idea who this guy is. If I've heard an Ed Sheeran song, I didn't realize I was listening to an Ed Sheeran song.
He's okay. He's had a couple of good songs.
Well, apparently, everybody's talked about him like he's, he's sliced bread or something. Like, this is wonderful. Oh, he's better than sushi. So, no idea who Ed Sheeran is, but I know who Paul Schaefer is.
Yep.
And I know who Bill Murray is.
Uh-huh.
And I know they got a new song out.
Sometimes it might seem dark, same path, same block, same park. But when you light your light, you're walking down Happy Street.
Yeah.
When things ain't cool, here's my real simple rule. Why not just change your point of view? Should roll. Oh, take a step outside. It's so great
like
to
that.
Be alive. Smiling at those you meet when you're walking down Happy Street.
Oh, there you go. Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, Bill Murray. Is there nothing he can't do? So he teamed up with Paul Schaefer for that song, Happy Street. I like that. Charleston's own Bill Murray. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. You might remember everybody was losing their minds during the president's joint address of Congress the other night when they brought up the widow of a fallen U.S. serviceman, and she was very emotional. Everybody was like, oh, who is that one guy? I forget who it was who posted that she made a fool of herself and she was being used by the Republicans and the president and yada, 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 and the blah, blah, blah. And if you will look back and remember Khazir Khan, he got up. Of course, his son was killed in Iraq. And they're a Gold Star family, he and his wife. And they were drug out at the Democratic convention to make their point about Donald Trump and immigrants and yada, yada, yada. Well, Khazir Khan recently said that he was traveling to Canada and that his trip to Canada was restricted by the United States government. He was not able to go because it was under review, and it resulted in his canceling a talk that he was going to give in Canada. There's only one major flaw with Khazir Khan's story. There's no proof of it. There's no evidence that this ever happened. Now, his announcement came the same day, a couple days ago, when President Trump announced his revised immigration halt from six countries. These countries that are on the list that they got from the Obama administration. So here's what he said. He said, "This turn of events is not just of deep concern to me, but all my fellow Americans who cherish our freedom to travel abroad." He said, "I have not been given any reason as to why. I am grateful for your support and look forward to visiting Toronto in the near future." Unfortunately, no evidence that it ever happened. No evidence. There is good evidence that it did not happen. That Khazir Khan was not held up at the border. He's an American citizen. He gets to travel freely with the United States passport. And yes, that includes Canada. Yeah, I love the way he said, we need to travel abroad. I don't really consider Canada abroad. Do you? No, it's just kind of like, you know, going over to the neighbor's house. But still, you got to go through customs there. So, Khan, on top of being a U.S. citizen for 30 years, was born in Pakistan, which was not included on Donald Trump's travel ban. And also, Americans don't need visas to travel to Canada. And U.S. citizens are able to travel as they please. The Department of State said in a statement, a U.S. citizen who holds a valid U.S. passport may enter and depart the United States. It's the decision of each individual country to determine whether to admit any U.S. citizen. U.S. citizens traveling should consult the requirements for their destination country prior to travel. So, if Khazir Khan was held up from going into Toronto, into Canada, to give this speech, he was certainly not held up by the United States government. He would have been held up, if it indeed happened at all, he would have been held up by the Canadian government, not us. And since when, even if you are an illegal alien, since when are we going to ask you to, we're going to prevent you from leaving? Since when is that going to happen? You are not welcome in this home. No, you can't leave. No, I'm sorry. You're going to have to stay here. But just know this, you are not welcome. No, don't touch the door. No, just sit down. So his, Now, several news agencies have reached out to Khazir Khan for clarification on what caused his quote-unquote travel restrictions. You know what he said? No, thank you. Not going to make a statement about it. And I think we'll find out, again, that it just simply did not happen. Did not happen. So, we'll find out. All this is Khazir Khan trying to use the death of his son. I wonder how much he got paid, was going to get paid to speak up there in Canada. I wonder how much that speaking fee is.
WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 8:52, 8 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Oh, my goodness. Sheila, we put the comforter up too soon. We're going to need it again. Doggone it. We just took the thing, put it away last night. Looks like the low, it's going to start getting chilly again. The low tonight will be 56, tomorrow 45, 49 on Saturday, and then Sunday 38 for a low, Monday 42, 37 on Tuesday, 36 on Wednesday. So chilly weather is heading back. Now, it's a little far out, but they are saying, and I don't mean like totally far out, man. It's a little far away. They could be seeing a wintry mix in the Midlands and the Upstate this weekend.
Wow. Plus know, the time right? changes.
And the time
you lose
changes.
An hour out of your weekend.
Yeah. So, there you go. A little too early to tell for sure, but they're tracking two weather systems, one that's forming off of the coast of South Carolina here. That's offering favorable indications of a rain-snow mix in the northernmost reaches of the Midlands here in South Carolina. This is according to the National Weather Service. Also stressing that this is low confidence in this, but it's still a possibility. And I forget which year was it we had that heavy snowfall in March. It wasn't that long ago, was it? We had a good March snowfall. So, again, we're gonna bring the comforter back out. All right, it's 8:54, 6 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. Get ready for Flippy. You know who Flippy is? Listen to this. It's a burger-flipping robot. That's right. All of these folks out there in California that are calling for Fight for $15 an hour for folks flipping burgers. Flippy, the burger-flipping robot, just completed its first day on the job at a restaurant in California, replacing the humans at the grill. Now, Flippy has mastered the art of cooking the perfect burger and just started working at a fast food chain called Cali Burger. The robotic kitchen assistant, which makers say can be installed in... How long do you think it would take to install a burger flipping robot? How long do you think? Day and a half, 2 days? 5 minutes. It takes 5 minutes to install. And it's so good that it continuously learns from its experience and actually gets better over time. So they say they're starting it off with a relatively simple task. Simple is in quotations. Simple task of cooking burgers. But it allows the kitchen assistants to be adaptable, can be trained to help with almost any of the other skills in the kitchen. I would imagine they would be like frying chicken, cutting vegetables, or actually putting the food on the plate. So Flippy's got cameras and sensors in it, and that determines when the burger is fully cooked. Then the robot places them on a bun. So after that, a human worker comes in. And puts the condiments on the burger. That's what it does. It puts the condiments. That's what do you do? Yeah, I don't flip burgers anymore. No, I'm the condiment caddy. That's what I do. Yeah. Huh? How'd you like that ketchup? Pretty good, huh? Like the way I put that mayonnaise on there, huh? Yeah, the lettuce was perfect. All right, $15 an hour. That's what I get to do that. So Flippy the Burger will be introduced in, looks like, all the Cali burgers next year with the aim of installing them in 50 of their restaurants worldwide by the end of 2019. So now they say that the benefits include making food faster, safer, and with fewer errors. So do you really think we would have been looking at a burger flipping robot if these people hadn't started screaming about this fight for 15 and the $15 an hour minimum wage? You got to be careful what you ask for. So if these people hadn't started marching and protesting and screaming and crying and whining about a $15 minimum wage for doing minimal work, if they hadn't done that, I'll guarantee you this company, Asimo, I think that's who makes it, wouldn't have even looked into making Flippy the Burger, Flippy the Robot, the Burger Flipper. And again, I mean, I see this, and I'm sure she's a fine, lovely young lady. I really am. But there's a stand downtown that sells, what is it? It's not gelato. It's Italian ice. Italian ice. And so she stands there, and somebody comes up and says, I would like an Italian ice, please. And she says, what flavor? And you tell her the flavor. And she reaches into the thing, and she hands you the Italian ice. And you hand her the money. And if there's change due, you give her the money. She gives you your change back, and you're on your way. For that, people want to be paid $15 an hour for that. Now, I guarantee you, you start having or mandating that people be paid $15 an hour for that, that Italian ice stand is no longer going to be a moneymaker. I mean, how many Italian ices do you have to sell an hour just to cover your expenses and her salary?
It's going to be like those robotic
yogurt
machines we hear advertised.
That's right.
Where you can get one and it takes care of itself. And, you know, I guess you have to come by and give it supplies every once in a while. But yeah, otherwise, it's a moneymaker.
That's right, because you don't have the expense of that human person standing there and say, oh, my God, oh, I got my break. My break's coming up. My break's coming up in 15 minutes. I got to go take a break. No, the law says I get a break. So these robots, they don't take a break. And then, like you said, all you got to do is refill the frozen yogurt machine with whatever ingredients or toppings. I've never even seen one, but however they work, you go in and redo that, and probably the owner does that, you know, taking care of that responsibility. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that $15 an hour. However, on the good side, $390,000 jobs were added last month, and they were expecting 190,000. Looks like we got a little bit more than that. We'll tell you more about that coming up on the Big Talker WTMA.
Charlie James in the morning, stimulating talk all day.
WTMA. TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 6 minutes past 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. I want to thank Congressman Mark Sanford for being on with us this morning. We will find out more about this new health care bill, what they're calling Ryan Care, because it's really being pushed forward by Paul Ryan. And, of course, this is the replacement to Obamacare. What they did do last night is they did vote to do away with the individual mandate as far as health care is concerned. That means you will not be fined for not having health care, which is a pretty good idea. What else are you not going to be fined for? So I think that's a big part of it. Now, remember, it wasn't when they first rolled out the Affordable Care Act several years ago, and they had not only the individual mandate, which was you and me, but they also had the corporate mandate. So if you were a corporation and you had over so many employees, you had to carry insurance on these employees, and they had the mandate for that. If you didn't do that, you would get fined. Well, they kept pushing that corporate mandate back. They pushed it back, pushed it back, pushed it back. Never could get any real explanation as why they were pushing back the corporate mandate, but yet leaving intact the individual mandate. So now this Republicans are trying to get this new bill passed as far as health care is concerned, and they're passing it through the Congressional Budget Office to score this thing. And the bill, which, you know, Democrats, of course, they don't like. They don't like it because there is no score yet from the Congressional Budget Office, and that gives states a lot more leeway on how they would provide or not provide health insurance for people. And it also predicts how states will behave over the next, 10, 12 years, because we just don't know yet. We don't know enough about this bill yet. Now, right now, they're having what they call markup sessions, where they go in and they take a pen. It's exactly what it sounds like. And they mark it up, you know, check this, big red X on that, and yada, yada, yada. And they try to boil this thing down to a workable health care plan. And then, so this is phase one, basically what we have now, that you can read at readthebill.gop. They'll whittle it down. They'll bring that out and back in phase two. No telling how long it's going to take to get this thing done. But as one congressman said last night, this is too important to rush through. It's too important. Now, I know what a lot of you are saying right now. The government should not be in health care. I agree with you 100%. 100%. I also agree that rolling out a new health care bill is not going to take care of the cost of health care, which is the real big problem here in this country. I mean, we've got, you know, you go to the hospital, and I've told this story before, and I'll tell you again. I kind of tweaked my knee a couple of years ago. I forget what I was doing, but it hurt. So I went to the doctor, and he said, yeah, you sprained your knee a little bit. We're gonna give you a brace. So he gives me this brace, and it's $95. $95. Yes, you can purchase it right here at the office. Yes, we take debit cards. That same day, while wearing my brace, I go to Walmart, and the same dang brace that I'm wearing is on the shelf at Walmart, hanging there for $20. So why then did I just pay $95 for this brace? When it's the same thing, the same material, the same size, the same brand that I found at Walmart that they had for $20. That's what's wrong with healthcare in this country. When you go and you pay $10 for a Band-Aid or $50 for an ACE bandage, that's what people are screaming about. That's why you can't afford your health insurance or your health care. It's not your health insurance. It's your health care cost that is the problem. Let's go to Joey out on James Island. Joey, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I tried to call Mark Sanford this morning, but, you know, when people ask him a question, he drones on and on and on, and then after he's finished, you don't know what he said.
Well, he is a politician. Don't forget about that.
Of course. But anyway, I was going to ask him, why don't they just repeal it?
Yeah.
They've had 7 years to come up with some kind of plan.
Right.
7 years. I'll tell you what. If they screw this up, okay, in 4 years, they're going to see some kind of record of turnaround from the Republicans back to the Democratic Party.
I think I think midterm. I don't think it's going to take general election. I think the fallout will be midterm.
Well, actually, what I was going to say, you know, to Mark Sanford was the only reason they didn't come out and repeal this thing and they're waiting for 2020 is because of the politicians on being reelected.
Yeah.
Had they come out and repealed it and everything, there would have been some seats up that these guys wouldn't have got reelected, and that's all it's coming down to, votes and reelect. They don't care about us. The only thing they're showing right now, what they did a couple of days ago, is to show the American people that it's all about them and not about us.
So you're saying it's really there? It's smoke and mirrors, and they're just doing this to win votes.
or to get reelected.
Yeah.
That's all this is. Just smoke. That's just, it's just a Band-Aid. It's not going to fix anything. It's just business as usual. That's all it is. And I mean, you know, I don't know Mark Sanford, but every time he comes on the radio, after he finishes speaking, I'm like, what did the guy say?
Are you more confused than when he... Well, he does use a lot of technical terms and a lot of stuff that insider terms that not all of us are... we don't really understand the full nomenclature of what goes on in Congress. But, Joey, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you very much. So let's go back to before Obamacare. How were we doing then? What was broken? Was insurance broken? Or was the cost of health care broken? So why then do the Republicans now think that we all of a sudden need some sort of universal health care plan that covers every citizen just because we're repealing Obamacare? Why is it all... All right, so let me ask you something, Republicans out there. If this bill that you are putting up right now, if that bill was given forward by the Obama administration, would you have been for it 7 years ago? Would you have been all on board with this bill 7 years ago if this bill were named Obamacare? Or would you be fighting it as, well, we'll say ineffectively, as you did 7 years ago? Would you be screaming in front of the television cameras and on the Sunday shows and all of that? Would you be livid with this bill if it were the original Obamacare? And I think that might want to be the watermark that you use. That might want to be the bar that you use to determine whether or not this is a good bill and whether or not this is good for the country. Would you have voted for it if it were called Obamacare?
1250 WTMA.
Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Even with Donald Trump's backing, this is going to be a tough road ahead because the plan will raise premiums for some elderly people and impact Medicare. And now it's opposed by the AARP. You fools! You've awakened the ancient ones. For months now, the elders have slumbered after sending one of their own to lead us. But now they stir, roused by a threat to the health care they so cherish. Of course, this would summon them. They keep track of the days of the week using pills. And now they are angered and energized by soup and early morning mall walks. Don't you know? They're the ones who vote. They guard the booths and control the sticker supply. Somehow, somewhere, they're voting right now. And oh, you will rue this trespass, for the ancient ones have nothing but anger and free time. Except Sundays at 8 when MeTV broadcasts Columbo. And your only hope is to pass the bill around 4 p.m. when they get drowsy after dinner.
Is that ageism? I mean, really. All of the stereotypes that Colbert was talking about there, is that ageism? Just imagine he had used African Americans or women and talked about them. Women would love to vote, but they can't find, you know, they're not good drivers, so they wreck on the way to the polls. Oh, the best time to catch them is at rush hour when they're doing their nails. Could you imagine the outcry that would have been coming to Stephen Colbert's way? But I guess it's okay to make fun of the old people. No, that's fine. Anyway, AARP, not for this plan. Of course they're not. And of course they're for, you know, Obamacare. That's what they want. That's, another political wing of the Democrat Party, AARP. So what are you guys saying? I still don't know enough about this doggone health care. We know that Republicans last night, early this morning, after about 18 hours of debate, they took about two dozen party line votes, but the Republicans are finally able to push legislation through the Ways and Means Committee that abolishing the tax penalty that Obamacare imposes on people who don't purchase insurance. So, and that was one of the big things. That's what everybody was screaming about. You're forcing us to buy insurance, and if we don't do it, then we have to pay a fine. Well, it looks like you're not going to be paying a fine anymore. I think this has now got to go to the president's desk. So White House and, of course, Republican leaders are still pretty badly divided over what should or should not be in this bill. And like we were telling you, AARP, they're against it. 7 years ago, their backing was, of course, instrumental in getting the Obamacare and getting Obamacare passed, which Donald Trump and the Republicans are looking at erasing. Biggest problem here, you've had 7 years to come up with a plan. And like I asked before, if the plan that you're putting out to the American people right now, the plan that you're debating, if this plan was the original Obamacare, would you have voted for it? Or would you have still screamed against it? That's what I would like to know. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Up, it looks like Obama did wiretap Donald Trump.
Are you asking, did I wiretap Donald Trump? Of course, I did it. I did it throughout the election process, and I did it again before leaving the White House.
Yeah, true.
And then I showed Michelle how to wiretap phone calls.
Yes, we can.
See, I told you, he admits it right there. Those were the words of Barack Obama. Of course, heavily edited. All right, 556-1250. Now, Lindsey Graham met with Donald Trump for lunch the other day and told you earlier this morning that he said lunch went so well with Donald Trump that he actually gave Donald Trump his new cell phone number. And I guess he's hoping against hope that the president didn't get mad at him again and release that number to the public. Remember when he did that during the primary debates. But he also talked about Donald Trump and the wiretapping allegations.
All I can say is the country needs an answer to this. The current president has accused the former president of basically wiretapping his campaign. One of the ways you could do that legally is obtain a warrant from a federal judge. It'd have to be probable cause that the Trump campaign was up to some nefarious activity with the Russians or somebody else. If there is no warrant, that excludes that possibility.
So let's see the warrant. Now, there's also the possibility, Lindsey, that it was done without a warrant. And we outlined yesterday how that might be done. So we'll talk a little bit more about this coming up after the break. Let's go to Mount Pleasant and talk to Mary Beth. Mary Beth, how are you?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to talk about the health care bill and
yeah.
maybe a little known fact.
Okay.
The Obamacare bill was about 2,700 pages long, and in those 2,700 pages, there were 1,200 plus times that the secretary could write a regulation.
Right.
And what I heard Tom Price say this morning was that they're playing some smart tricks because to do this by, 51 votes and that kind of thing.
Right, right.
But what people need to know is that there are probably enough regulations in the Obamacare bill that they could roll back almost the entire thing.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, but they want, they need to repeal it and they need to replace it.
Right. Okay, well, let me ask you something, Mary Beth, because somebody asked me this earlier this morning. Mm-hmm. Why can't we just leave it at repeal?
You know what? See, I love what you were asking. Would you have voted for it? Because, we got along without Obamacare
yeah.
for a long, long time.
That's right.
I agree. I think they could repeal it. But you know what people... But you know what they could do, and this is why I wrote a letter to Mark Stanford yesterday, because mm-hmm. I think he's been very fiscally conservative, and
right.
I saw him standing up there with the conservatives and was happy to see that. I think we need to let this thing play out, because I think they're trying to do what they can do with 51 votes
mm-hmm.
in the Senate. I think that's very, very smart, and I think that when Tom Price says phase two is writing regulations,
right?
He is absolutely right. Like I said, there were 1,200 times in the Obamacare bill where it says the secretary shall decide, the secretary shall determine, and the secretary shall define.
Aha.
1,200 times.
So just because you have a different secretary, or when you have a different secretary, he gets to call the shots on it.
Absolutely.
And 1,200 times.
It was said this morning, people don't realize how much power the secretary has.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of confidence in Tom Price. We need to let this thing play out. And if they have to play the games that the Democrats play, mm-hmm. get it voted with 51 votes, I say go for it.
There you go.
And then write some undo some regulations. But I'm with you. I wish they would just repeal it and start over again. I mean, my premiums went from $285 to $753.
So then how was that affordable? In the affordable, where's the affordable part of the Affordable Care Act?
Right. There is no affordability in there. And I don't worry about myself as much as I worry about young families who are paying $2,000 premiums with $14,000 deductibles.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Mary Beth, thank you so much for calling in. We're about to hit a break here. But if you got and one of the things that Congressman Sanford said this morning is, if you're 26 years old, you're just starting out in life, maybe you should still be on your, but if the premiums were lower, it might be a lot easier for a 26-year-old to afford health care than it is now under Obamacare.
Michael Savage Afternoons. Stimulating talk all day.
WTMA 1250. WTMA.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 9:36, 24 minutes until 10 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Don't put the comforter away just yet. The temperatures over the next couple of days are going to be dropping down lows at night down into the 30s again. So, again, break out those comforters again. I know it seems warm now, but going to be getting chilly. All right, there was an experiment, and I told you a little bit about this earlier. There was an experiment that was designed to reveal gender bias in the debates between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And what they were trying to find out is, were men viewed more favorably in debates against women? Okay. Would Hillary Clinton have done better? This is really what it boils down to. Would Hillary Clinton have done better against Donald Trump in the debates if she were a man? Well, they did the experiment. They got a couple of actors and they put them up there and they memorized the script and they were coached on the mannerisms, the smiling and the hand waving of Donald Trump and the certain little mannerisms that he had. And they conducted this debate.
We are going to enforce the trade deals that we have and we're going to hold people accountable. When I was Secretary of State, we actually increased.
Oh, by the way, let me just explain this. The male, the guy here, is speaking the Hillary Clinton lines, and the female is portraying Donald Trump.
We increased American exports globally 30%. We increased them to China 50%. So I know how to really work to get new jobs and to get exports that help to create more new jobs.
But you haven't done it in 30 years, in 26 years.
Well, I've been a senator, and I've been a secretary of state, and I have done a lot.
One of the worst trade deals to ever happen to
the manufacturing industry. Well, that is your opinion. That is your
opinion. You go to Ohio, Pennsylvania, you go anywhere you want, Secretary Gordon, and you will see devastation where manufacturers down 30, 40, sometimes 50%. NAFTA is the worst trade deal maybe ever signed anywhere, but certainly ever signed in this country. And now you want to approve Trans-Pacific Partnership. You were totally in favor of it. Then you heard what I was saying, how bad it is, and you said, I can't win that debate. But you know that if you did win, you would approve that, and that would be almost as bad as NAFTA.
Well,
nothing will ever top NAFTA.
That is just not accurate. I was against it once it was finally negotiated and the terms were laid out. I wrote about that.
You called it the gold standard.
I wrote about, well,
you
I hope
the gold standard of trade.
And you know what?
You said it's the finest deal you've ever seen.
No.
Then you heard what I was saying, and all of a sudden you were against it.
Well, I know you live in your own reality, Brenda. Right, so that is not
that was the debate. And I forgot that she kept trying in that debate to bring up her book that she had written with Tim Kaine, Stronger Together, that horrible, hideous book she wrote. Well, anyway, Matt, I see you're on hold. I'll get to you in just a second. These professors designed this experiment. They were unsettled, they say, to discover that audience members actually found Donald Trump's style more endearing when it came from a woman. One of the female audience members even said that she found the male version of Hillary Clinton very punchable. Oh, really? Isn't that interesting? Yeah, one of the professors even said, you know, I'd kind of like to go have a beer with her, talking about the woman portraying Donald Trump. Let's go west of the Ashley and talk to Matt. Matt, how are you?
Good morning, sir. I'm great this morning.
I'm glad to hear it. What's on your mind today?
Earlier today, you mentioned that Trump had said his hotel was bugged.
Right, Trump Tower.
Yeah, Trump Tower. And I've heard that also on some of the other news media around.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the words from Trump himself, and he said his phones were bugged. He did not say anything about the tower.
Okay.
So, you know, you and the news media need to get what he said correct, you know, and if that's all he said about his phones being tapped, then say that, not his tower was bugged.
Okay, where were the phones? Where were the phones, Matt? I don't understand why you're having this this issue on syntax here.
Because it's a big difference between having your phone tapped and your whole tower bugged. Big difference.
Okay,
I'm in a room talking to somebody, and that room is bugged. Then you get the information from whatever is said in that room.
Right. But
If that room is not bugged, then you get nothing unless I'm on a phone with somebody.
Okay, explain to me the difference between the two when it comes down to somebody recording conversations. Is one good and one bad?
Where I'm on the phone talking to somebody, or if I'm in a room.
Okay, I understand the difference in the location. Well, what is the big part of it? You said that's the big difference. How is that a big difference? If I'm sitting on the couch talking to someone and there's a bug in the lamp on the coffee table, what's the difference between that and somebody bugging my phone?
There's a big difference.
Okay, well, what is that difference? That's what I'm trying to get to. What is that difference?
The tower was not bugged. So when he was...
The tower is just the address that we're talking about.
In a room, they have no record of that conversation and did not hear that conversation. Now, when he was talking to her over a phone, then they have records of that conversation only. There's two different areas, two different possibilities.
Okay. And I'm not following you with that one, Matt, but I appreciate your insight into that. I don't understand the difference. As if somebody is bugging you, they're bugging you. If somebody is recording conversations with or without a warrant, you're still being bugged. I don't get the difference whether it's coming from a lamp or a phone. Sean is out on John's Island. Sean, how are you?
How you doing, Mr. Charlie?
I'm doing good. What's up?
Hey, that gentleman's name was Matt.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, just because the bug's in the phone, it doesn't mean it's not also recording what's going on in the room.
Right, yeah.
You know, a bug can be a bug. Hey, come on now. You know, let's open our minds a little bit.
I don't understand. I don't get what Matt was trying to get out there. So
good. Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate you calling in this morning. Yep. It's about 17 minutes until 9 o'clock. All right. Now, this is what Lindsey Graham, I think we played this a little bit earlier. This is what he had to say about these possible wiretaps. Now, remember, wiretapping today is completely different than what it was when Nixon was in office. We didn't even have fax machines when Nixon was in office. So basically, two things could happen. You could record the conversation in the room like Nixon did in the White House, or you could record conversations on the telephone, like he directed people to do. So, but now you can, we got fax machines, which nobody uses anymore, but we got the internet. They can get information from that digitally. We've got your phone calls. We got cell phones. We've got conversations. We found out yesterday, and we've kind of known this for a while, but we chose to ignore it. Your phone is basically listening to everything you say. They can tap into that. Even your Samsung television can listen to your conversations. So here's what Lindsey Graham had to say.
All I can say is the country is needs an answer to this. The current president has accused the former president of basically wiretapping his campaign. One of the ways you could do that legally is obtain a warrant from a federal judge. It'd have to be probable cause that the Trump campaign was up to some nefarious activity with the Russians or somebody else. If there is no warrant, that excludes that possibility.
All right, now remember, the Obama administration went to the FISA court to try to get a warrant. I think this was back in June or July, to try to get a warrant to wiretap Donald Trump and the Trump campaign in Trump Tower. So the FISA court said, no, we're not going to do that. Now, just as a point of information, this was the only, I think, only request last year denied by the FISA court. Because every other request was like, they were like, yeah, okay, I see the necessity for that. Go ahead, let's go ahead and get that tap going. They brought this to the FISA court and they said, get out of here. No, we're not doing that. So then they go back and they narrow it down. And the FISA court said, okay, go ahead and do that. Go ahead and start the wiretaps. If this, when in the world have we ever seen the permission to wiretap another campaign by a sitting president? When does that happen? Well, it hasn't. Now, here's what Trey Gowdy said.
I've only interviewed one witness that I would consider to have firsthand knowledge, and that was last week in Director Comey, and I've not had access to any witnesses with firsthand knowledge or any documents that would inform or instruct that presidential tweet. It could be for two reasons. Number one, there is no evidence. Or secondarily, it could be a judicial matter. At this point in life, what I believe is less important to me than what the witnesses who have firsthand knowledge say, which is why I think it's really important that we talk to every witness and access every document.
So we've got to get those documents. We got to find out. But then again, we found out yesterday with this Vault 7 WikiLeaks dump, where they talk about year zero, that just because they did not have a warrant doesn't mean the wiretapping didn't occur. Because there's lots of ways to do that now. It doesn't have to be a bug in a lamp like I talked about earlier. It could be from your phone or from whatever. So I will talk more about this when we get back. It's the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
1250 WTMA.
Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Siri, what is a day without a woman?
Hold on, let me do it again.
Siri, what is a day without a woman?
I'm sorry, I don't work for you today. Go f*** yourself.
There you go. I could have written that joke. You saw that one coming, right? It's 9:53, 7 minutes until 10 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. Of course, Jimmy Kimmel went on about President Trump tweeting about women last night.
President Trump wrote some beautiful things about women today. He tweeted, I have tremendous respect for women and the many roles they serve. They are vital to the fabric of our society and our economy. He didn't write that, but that's nice. You know, there's no way he wrote that. I don't know if Ivanka had his phone today or what, but for President Trump, every day is a day without a woman because his wife still lives in New York.
But he respects, Jimmy Kimmel respects women so much. Last night on his show, he took the opportunity to take a jab at one of them.
I've had my ups and my downs. In the last months, I've done my share of sleeping.
That's drunk Hillary Clinton, by the way, with Jimmy Kimmel. Oh, my goodness. So, that whole day without women thing yesterday was just absolutely ridiculous. They arrested a bunch of them at out in front of the Trump Tower or the Trump International Hotel in New York because, well, they wasn't listening to the police officers there. And that's what happens. And by all accounts, one of the things that you don't see people like Kimmel or, oh, and by the way, let me just say this before I forget it. People are screaming at Jimmy Fallon. They are very upset with Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show. They're telling him, you've got to be more political. You got to go after Trump. You got to go after Trump more. You got to be more political. You got to go after Trump. Why? Because Stephen Colbert is actually doing fairly well in the ratings right now. In fact, he's won the ratings for, I think, for the past week, maybe 2 weeks in a row, because of his constant pounding on the president of the United States. And Kimmel is losing to Stephen Colbert. Now, I think he's being given some really bad advice by people that he trusts. Because, like I said, they're asking him to go more political, to go after Trump. Short term, that may serve you well. I don't think it's going to. If you want to be the guy, Jimmy Kimmel, if you want to be the guy that people look back 20, 30 years from now and go, man, do you remember The Tonight Show with Jimmy Kimmel? I mean, with Jimmy Fallon. Do you remember The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon? That was really good. Kind of like they do with Johnny Carson. Exactly like they do with Johnny Carson. Or if you want them to look back and go, oh, man, The Late Show with David Letterman was fantastic. If you want to be that host, then you need to not listen to those people and think about what's going to happen and what's going to be best for you in the long run. Because the tide is turning in this country and people are going to start tuning out. Now, why Stephen Colbert is doing so well right now in the ratings, I don't know. Maybe a concept. Well, maybe that's it. Maybe he's just got such a group of disgruntled snowflakes tuning in because that's what they want to hear. But that's going to go away. Even Saturday Night Live and Alec Baldwin with his Donald Trump impression, they're going to be cutting back on that. Now, that's not speculation. That's the truth. And Alec Baldwin actually came out the other day and started saying, oh, well, yeah, I'm cutting back on that because, you know, I really thought Donald Trump was going to take it better than he's been taking it. And, you know, I've been getting a lot of pushback from him and conservatives and Republicans. No, that's not what happened. Not according to your bosses at NBC. Your boss at NBC and other staffers on the show were saying, yeah, people are starting to get a little tired of this. It doesn't play well in their market sampling. Because when some of these Nielsen homes with the Nielsen boxes, they can tell what people like and don't like in pretty much real time. And lately, these impressions, especially the hard-hitting, we'll say hard-hitting political impressions, haven't been really resonating with the viewers. So, Donald Trump did indeed tweet out on yesterday, on International Women's Day, join me in honoring the critical role of women here in America and around the world. I have tremendous respect for women and the many roles that they serve that are vital to the fabric of our society in our economy. Of course, when he comes out with something like that, people, you know, Hillary Clinton shills like Jimmy Kimmel say there's no way in the world that he wrote it.